You ever heard the Bible used to build something really good? Amy Grant, remember her? Michael W. Smith brought the words of Psalm 119, verse 105 to contemporary Christian music in 1984. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Remember that? Came right out of the Bible, and Amy Grant sang it. Well, that's confusing, though, because 1 Corinthians 13:34 says women should be silent in the assembly. Same Bible, right? Could be used to build something awesome, like teenagers everywhere singing praises to God, or could be used like a whap to break and shatter and deny and cause some to be silent. We got to be careful, don't we? Who remembers the Ten Commandments? Exodus 31, chapter 15. For 6 days, work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy unto the Lord. Right? How wonderful is that? I've used that passage before. Anybody know anybody that works like 7 days a week, just works too hard, never takes a vacation? Anybody know somebody like that? Let's see a hand if you know somebody like that. Just works all the time. Well, you can use that scripture to help them. Say, look, God made everything, and God wasn't so busy as to rest on the seventh day, and God has asked us to do the same thing. You can use that to build something, to build some health. But you know what the rest of that verse says? Whoever does any work, that's what it says, on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. Talk about working yourself to death, right? Now, I can imagine if I was really good at paying attention to the Sabbath day, looking down my nose at my friends who worked on the Sabbath day, saying, you should be put to death. You don't belong in the church. You don't follow the rules. Same scripture. I could use it to build someone up. I could use it to tear somebody down, smash them into a lot of pieces like a coffee cup. This happened in Jesus' day all that time. There were several notable times when something good that Jesus did was judged by the religious leaders, the Pharisees, to be a violation of God's law. Healing someone on the Sabbath, expressing forgiveness of sins. Both of those things are great, but the Pharisees, the leaders in the church didn't like it. They got so mad that they plotted to kill Jesus. So I think you get the point. The Bible contains stories and rules, history and lessons and encouragements, condemnations, and we can use them as hammers or as hammers, right? We can use them to build up or to tear down. I personally hope that I am accused of using the hammers of Scripture for things like building habitat houses and making communities stronger and showing people how to love one another. I hope that that's the case. I know it's the case for so many of you. I personally hope that I'm never accused and never guilty of using a hammer as a hammer the other way to tear something apart that shouldn't be torn apart. Which brings me to the story, the Babel at Babel. This is after Noah's Ark. In Genesis 6, that's the way beginning of the book, the people of earth are really messing up. It says in the first verses of Genesis 6 that the Lord looked out, saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of mankind's heart was only evil, and that continually. It's bad all the time. People were using hammers, like hammers. Breaking coffee cups, breaking one another. Terrible. And so God remembered the flood came and Noah's family was saved and they started over. And God said, take your family and all the 2x2 animals that had become 3x3 on the ark and go out into the world, spread over the whole earth, scatter and populate the earth. And so that happened, kind of. Really, Genesis 11 comes along, and the very next story, that's this one. The people just sort of all moved in a clump, it says, over to this plain of Shinar, and they all said, you know what we should do? We should stick together. Well, that's a problem, because remember what God just said? Scatter. get apart from one another. Go and find places on earth to live. And they said, you know what we should do? I got a great idea. We should build a tower and a city, and we'll make a big name for ourselves, because after all, we all speak the same language. And then who can stop us if we have a great big tower? So that happened. That said, and what happened then, it says, is that God came down to look at this thing they were building and decided it wasn't good for them to do that. So God gave them different languages to speak and scattered them all around the earth, and they couldn't understand each other anymore. So you see, God sent us our own ways to become our tribe, and God sent them to be their tribe, and God gave us different languages to speak. So I think that's one of the reasons, that's one of the ways that this story came about, is people were sitting around the campfire and a little granddaughter said, "Grandfather, why do those people over there talk different?" And grandfather said, "Well, let me tell you what God did. Everyone used to talk the same. And God said, I want people to talk differently." Of course, the story also might have been given when that same little granddaughter wondered what those pyramid-like temples were. The tall, I think they called them ziggurats in some religions, these kind of Mayan-looking things that they had in the Middle East as well. Why did they build those towers, and why didn't they finish them? Granddaughter said, and grandfather said, let me tell you a story. Once on the plain of Shinar, all the people spoke one language, and they said, let us make a name for ourselves. And God scatters them. And you might ask, what's so bad about cities? What's so bad about building things? Was God really afraid that somehow people would challenge God? So you could take this as a condemnation of city life. But I think the story has a lot to do with human pride, with our propensity to surround ourselves with like-minded people, and then to do some harm to those who aren't like us. Look, we'll build a city. Look, we'll build a tower. And then we'll really make a name for ourselves. Won't that be something? 2 summers ago, I drove west with my kids. And somewhere in western North Carolina or Tennessee, we saw this thing on the side of the road. And it prompted us to have some fun with the dialogue, imagining how it came about. It was on church ground, so we figured it was in some church council meeting at some point in time. And the folks got together, we could just imagine, and someone said, I've heard a word from the Lord. God wants us to do something. And the council members probably said, what is it? Feed the hungry? No, much bigger than that. What is it? Share the gospel? No, this is a grand vision from the Lord. What is it? Care for our neighbors? No, this is a spectacular vision from the Lord. We're going to build a 150-foot-tall stainless steel cross in our parking lot for everyone on I-40 to see. Oh, so that's what God told you? Are you sure? Yes, it'll be great. Well, I don't mean to misinterpret. I certainly don't mean to make fun of somebody else. But humans have been trying to make names for themselves for as long as, well, as long as humans have been humans. The people on the plane are building this big tower. The writer of the story tells us they were all speaking the same language. They were using bricks of stone. It was getting pretty tall. But the writer of the story also tells us that God had to come down to look at it. And I think in the modern teenager English, I think this is the writer kind of throwing shade, which means sort of making fun of the folks. Because for all this great big grand tower, God had to come down in order to see it. God was way above it. Couldn't touch God. God had to come all the way down to see their tower. Sometimes we get our work out of proportion, don't we? I think human pride is the focus here. We want to make a name for ourselves. We take the ingenuity and the ability to make stuff. We start to glorify something besides God, and then we head off in the wrong direction. It can happen to individuals. It can happen to groups at a crossroads, at a town or a city. A nation can get caught up in this. A whole region. Companies can do it. Banks can do it. Churches can do it. Politicians certainly have no problem doing it. Whenever we're serving a legacy that elevates our own egos over love of God and neighbor, we're headed for trouble. God says in this old lesson, I'm going to confuse their language and scatter them around. So I think that's one of the facets in this story. Another facet that I think is going on, it doesn't mention it explicitly, but we know from anthropology and archaeology that when you build something really big in the old world, you had to use a lot of slaves to do it, because people don't often want to just stop farming and feeding their families to make millions and millions of bricks and kill themselves doing it. And so if they were making a great big tower out of bricks, probably there were enslaved peoples to make a name for somebody. And so God says, that's not good. Let's scatter them. We hear that in the Israelites when they are in Egypt. Remember, they become slaves, and the Egyptian taskmasters making big towers, right, are making them make bricks and more bricks and more bricks with even less stuff. And God says through Moses, let my people go. So when God sees that humans are exploiting their fellow people to make a name for themselves in this story, God scatters the people, effectively setting the slaves free to live in peace out from under the whips of their taskmasters. In today's world, we don't see slaves hauling big blocks of granite much anymore. But because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. After all, our food is picked by migrant workers who feel invisible and sometimes live in harsh conditions. Our gold and diamonds are mined in huge open pits in Africa. Our cell phones are made in factories in Asia. Our electricity is made from coal or nuclear power, which have to come from somewhere. I wonder what people God is listening to. So maybe God is dealing with the people's pride that we can make a name for ourselves instead of glorifying God. Maybe God is setting the people that are working free. And lastly, the thing about language and confusion. Have you ever had the experience where you're trying to order something or get some technical support or have some sort of transaction, and the person that you're trying to relate to doesn't speak English very well? Anyone ever had that experience before? Does it get, yeah, both hands, I saw some go up. Yeah, I confess, it gets a little frustrating, doesn't it? A little exasperating, right? It happens a lot in like the early 90s and the late 80s. Tech support went to other countries. It was easy to do and it was cheaper there. It gets really hard. Is it easier or harder at that moment when you're exasperated because you can't hear someone in your own language to think of them as a child of God, first and foremost, and maybe a brother or sister in Christ? Is it easier to see them as a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, or is it harder? It's harder, right? You're thinking, where's my Big Mac? And why don't you learn my language? How can you not understand right here in the good old US of A, what I'm saying? Where'd you learn? You know what the Bible says here in this story? They learned it from God. God did it. See, it used to be that everybody spoke the same language. And God said, oh, the trouble they're going to get into. I'm going to separate them apart. And I'm going to confuse their languages. So they, my people, are going to have to work hard to understand and see the image of God in one another. It's not going to be easy. Sometimes we confuse our need for something, the transactions of the day, with relationships. We're nice and friendly with the wait staff until our order comes lukewarm or is delayed. That's frustrating enough. You add in a language barrier, we're absolutely exasperated. Today we learn that God at one time saw everyone speaking the same and decided in God's infinite wisdom that speaking different languages would be better for us in the long run. Have you ever met someone who's hard to love? Maybe even someone that speaks the same language as you. Someone that comes into church life or work life and they are just really hard to love. You ever met somebody like that? A wise pastor, much wiser than me, one time, when I was lamenting a situation about someone who was really hard to love, said, well, maybe God brought that person into your life so that you could learn to love people like that. Oh, thank you, wise pastor. Yeah, it's harder, but it's evidently what God did. Let us not forget also, finally, let us not forget Pentecost, which comes in the book of Acts in the New Testament. And remember, on that day, there was a festival, and it was 50 days after Passover, and there were people from all over the world, and they all spoke different languages. They were all in one place. And then the Holy Spirit came, remember, like tongues of fire, and settled on the apostles, and they started to speak, and they spoke in languages that everyone could understand. Everyone heard them speaking in their own language. So when the Spirit of God comes into us, there's a spirit of peace and understanding and love for one another that's primary, and those barriers that are really quite small, although sometimes inconvenient, fell away, and they were able to hear one another. Now, people continued speaking their own language, but there was an understanding. There's a oneness and a unity. And so, as we go from our place of worship today, as we celebrate what God has done, let us remember that we've been given a story, and stories are like hammers. You can either use them as a hammer or as a hammer, right? So the choice is ours, although the story is God's. So may we not be confused, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we worship the one who created us all with all of our different languages and perspectives. May we do justice and love mercy and walk humbly and interact and develop relationships with folks, even and especially folks that we don't immediately understand. May we see the very image of God in our neighbor, regardless of their language. And may we build a home and not smash a coffee cup. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we come to our time of prayer. We want to, we want to lift up a few folks that are grieving. I was told this morning that Francis Friday's daughter has a sister-in-law who, as a very young woman, I believe I heard in her 30s, suffered a massive heart attack and died. So Francis is grieving along with this extended family and is in New Jersey. So we pray for her family and for God to have mercy and grant peace and comfort. We also want to pray for the family of Catherine O'Brien, whose service will be here tomorrow. We remember many in our congregation, and folks have shared the folks that are suffering, the victims of the forest fires in California. So for all of these that we have prayed, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I wonder if we have anything to celebrate. Does anybody have anything? I'd call for I don't do this very often, but I just feel like we could use a little joy. Does anyone have a celebration?